This is Community Matters on 92 Gold. If it matters to you, it's on Community Matters.
Thank you for joining me on the Community Matters program on 92 Gold and 104.3 Kinzu Country. And joining me today on the Community Matters program is Kelly Knapp, the director of the Warren Public Library. And we're talking about some really important things that are happening at the library. And I'm really excited to be here with you, Kelly. So I understand there's some renovations that are on the way right now.
Thanks for having me, Aaron. Yeah, it's been a very busy few years at the library. We do have a renovation going on. We started planning for this probably February of 2017. It's been a long time coming to get to where we are today, and we're not quite finished yet.
That is so interesting. So with that being said, I'm curious to talk a little bit about the backstory with this library at the location where we're at. So about when was the last time any renovations or work had been done at this location here?
The last renovation was in the early 2000s. The building was constructed in 1916, and there have been a few additions as we've needed to grow over the years. There's one, I believe, in the 60s, one in the 80s, but the most recent one was the early 2000s.
Looking at, you know, we're in 2022 now, it's been going on almost two decades since then. With that being said, I understand that there's a lot of expansion that's needed to happen. There's a lot of things that are happening at the library right now, and things kind of need to adjust as technology adjusts and other things adjust to make the best use of the space available. So with that being said, you started in 2017, the idea and creation process for this renovation. How long did it take you to put pen to paper and space it all out before the actual work began on it?
Well, we decided, the library had been talking for many years about trying to come up with a teen space, something special for our teen community. And when I became director in January of 17, I decided that was going to be one of my top priorities. So we started working that next month to try to get some information from teens that come to the library, build a teen advisory group, see what it is that they wanted, because that's what really matters. So we were able to do that. We did surveys with kids in the local school district, got as much information as we could locally. And then we reached out to some other libraries within a state. Blasco Library in Erie has a teen space at that time, and Carnegie Libraries in Pittsburgh all have teen spaces. And so we went to visit them. We took a couple of days and visited 10 of their libraries and talked to their staff and their management and the teen librarians and talked to the teens themselves. And I was sitting down on the floor talking with one of the teens. It was his 16th birthday, and he was so excited about all the things that were going on in their teen space. And I thought, this is fabulous. We can do this too. So we brought that information back and needed to determine, of course, how we were going to pay for this, because as a 501c3 nonprofit, we don't have that kind of money. So there was a grant available at the state level called the Keystone Parks Recreation, and I can't remember that. Anyway, we just call it Keystone. And you have to have matching funds for that. So we decided that we were going to apply for that, and that would help us to fund this teen space. And then we got thinking, since we were going to be applying for this grant, there was a lot more that needed to be done at the library. We don't have the acreage to be able to expand and add to the library, but we can do some changes and make things better for the patrons who come here. So we started adding things to this grant that we know our community needs. And so we have quite a list. So what we ended up with and what we are in the process of trying to accomplish right now is new LED lighting throughout the public area, Americans with Disabilities Act upgrades, which includes signage, a new cab in the elevator, automatic push-button doors for the public and family ADA restrooms on the first floor and the lower level. We are going to have air conditioning in the public space, which we've never been able to do before because it was cost prohibitive. And now with the changes in how air conditioning can be done, we were able to make that happen. Putting in a couple of freestanding meeting pods that people will be able to reserve for private meetings for 2 to 4 people. We are completely replacing and upgrading our network infrastructure so that we can meet the internet needs of the public and the staff now and in the future. We've gotten some new furniture to replace some that is falling apart, quite honestly. Some areas needed recarpeted, so we're doing that. If anybody ever went to our basement area and went to the Friends of the Library bookseller where they sold used books, that has been moved upstairs and will be in the room directly across from the circulation desk. So it will be much more accessible and a pleasant area to shop. And then the teen space. This is how it all started, and this is the big part of what we're doing. We want to make sure that the teens in our community have a safe and comfortable and pleasant place to be, whether they're reading or doing homework, working on projects, playing games, just gathering with their friends. We want them to be comfortable. So what we have done is the books that were in the basement level, the lower level, have been shifted and moved upstairs. And we are using that area to put in a big teen space. Their books will be down there. There will be a small kitchenette. There's going to be a gaming area with a big screen TV. There's a multi-purpose room where they can work on projects together. There'll be a big TV in there for them to work on video projects. We're going to have a green screen and video equipment for them. We've installed a soundproof recording studio so they can record music or podcasts or singing or, you know, whatever it is that they would like to do in there. We have an area for research and graphic design computers. And the teen services specialist office will be down there as well. So we're really, really excited about those improvements and having a place for the teens to come and to learn about things that just interest them. And we're going to be having a lot of programming for them down there and just a place for them to hang out and feel good and not be afraid of talking out loud and just having a good place to go and to be with their friends or to work on things on their own and to learn new things.
There are just so many different possibilities and opportunities that are going to be beneficial that I can see coming out of this. It's really amazing.
It is. We're really excited about it. One other thing that we are putting down in that area, which will be available on a reservation basis also for adults, is a makerspace. And anybody who's not familiar with a makerspace, basically it's a space where you learn to make things. It can be anything from 3D printing and graphic design and coding and that kind of thing to crafts. And what we're going to have, we spoke with the Pittsburgh libraries and found out what the kids there were the most interested in. And we're going to have to start a little bit small and start with some basics. And then we will be reaching out once the kids start coming and reaching out and finding out what it is that they're the most interested in. Then we will add to it. But we're going to have a cooktop down there. We've purchased an Invection cooktop and some pots and pans, and we're going to do some cooking classes. We've ordered a digital camera so we can work on that. We've ordered a sewing machine. One of the things that the Pittsburgh Library said in every single library was that the kids really, really liked to sew. So we've gotten a sewing machine, working on various different crafts and things like that for that space. And kids will take classes and learn how to work all of the equipment. And then at some point, once they've gotten to a certain level of understanding of the equipment, then they'll be able to do things on their own. And all of that said, we will be looking for members of the community to help us and to help teach. We don't know necessarily how to sew or work a digital camera or do a lot of these different things. And we're going to be looking for members in the community to volunteer and help us teach the teens and teach people how to use some of these things.
Well, that sounds really amazing. And it sounds like a great opportunity for people in the community to be able to both teach people that would like to learn. And it also seems like a great opportunity for people that are in the community that want to polish their skills on things that you know, maybe they don't get to do very often. That would give them an opportunity to do it more often and to hone in those skills while also teaching others how to do it as well. And it just sounds like that there's going to be opportunities for people to learn and for people to grow, both whether it's intellectually with learning different things that they can use, or whether it's talking about skill building and things that they can do with their hands to improve. Like, it really is just amazing that you have so many different things. And with that being said, how long has it been that you guys have been in the construction part of this and the moving part of this renovation now?
Well, the moving part, which was getting the books moved from downstairs, getting furniture from out of there, getting furniture moved upstairs, taking our meeting rooms and storing furniture in them. And we've had offices that are on the lower level, so those had to be moved up into our meeting rooms. So we haven't been able to lend our meeting rooms out to anyone. But the preparatory part started probably a year and a half ago. And we submitted for our grant right after COVID hit. So April of 2020, we did not find out whether we approved until November. And then we had to work on getting bid specifications out. And then we had to have the contractors bid. And normally you have one round of bidding and you choose your contractors and you get started. But COVID really put a crimp in all of that, and there weren't enough people to work, and there were a lot of contractors weren't putting out bids because they didn't have enough people. And so anyway, we ended up going out for bid three times on this project before we were able to get everyone, all of the different types of contractors that we needed involved. And the project, because primarily of COVID costs, came in $400,000 over the $1.3 million that we had anticipated at the beginning. Yeah, it's been a challenge. We're almost there. We've almost recovered that $400,000. We're about $25,000 short still to finish up the project, but we're just about there. So it's not stopping us in any way, but it has slowed. COVID again did slow us down because we're having trouble getting materials, and everybody's heard the same story. It's difficult. We have doors that have been on order, finally going to ship sometime in August, but they've been on order all year. An electrical panel that we have no idea when that's going to arrive. So that's going to slow down some of the other things. We have lighting that we don't have any idea when it's going to be shipped yet. There's just a lot of those things that have really slowed down. So people come in and they see that the library is not back to normal yet, but that's why. Everybody's looking forward to this project being completed for multiple different reasons, including the contractors, the architecture. We work with Larson Carley Architects here in Warren, who have been wonderful to work with. Our contractors have been great. We just are running into delays that can't be prevented in a lot of the cases. But we're all excited. We want it to be done, but we're most excited because we want to get the teens here. We want people to have a much easier access into the library, to be able to see better when they're here, to be more comfortable temperature-wise when they're here, to have better internet connection. There's just so much that we're excited about. Everything that we're doing will affect somebody. Everybody who walks into the library will be affected in some way by this renovation, no matter what you're coming for. So we're just really, really excited, and we can't wait to be able to show off the teen space and to have people have a better experience when they come.
When we look back at those renovations that took place at the beginning of the 2000s, the early 2000s there, really it's taken, we're about 2022 now, but this is truly bringing this library into and past the 21st century right now. Everything that you guys are going to be bringing in for programming, in my opinion, is exactly what people in the community are looking for, what they need and what they want. And really, it just shows that you guys put the due work and diligence in 2017, 18, 19, when you were planning and starting this execution process to make this, because when you look at some of these things, it is planning that takes a lot in advance to see it come to fruition like that. But to me, it seems like everything that people here in the community need and want.
We have a dedicated team here at the library who has worked really, really hard to make all of this happen and to figure out what alternatives are when there have been problems. And everybody who works here is looking out for the best interest of the patrons and all the people who walk through our doors. And that's why we're doing this. It's for the patrons. This has almost nothing to do with the ease of anything for staff. It's all patron related. And we're really excited about that.
Well, it's something that we can be excited for here in the community as well. And one thing that I did want to say, if people want to stay up to date with some of the things that you guys are doing, I know the best way to stay up to date would be your website. And that would be
warrenlibrary.org. There is information on there about the renovation. There are photographs of how things have been moving along a little bit. And also on Facebook.
Kelly, thank you for taking the time to go through this with me. I'm glad that we could highlight these things.
Thanks so much, Aaron. We're excited to see everybody here.
Okay, so you want news and weather on demand that fits your schedule. You want local news, Erie news, lots of news, making you one of the best informed people on the planet, or at least in Pennsylvania. You need to know how to dress the kids, making sure they're cool no matter what the weather. And you expect live briefings about important local news in real time. It's free. Streamed on Roku, SBTV, Apple TV, and Fire TV. Take your pick or watch on channel 35.3, Erie's 24-hour news and weather channel, Erie News Now Plus.
Community Matters on 92 Gold.
What is involved in the agreement and what does that mean for students that are going to be coming to Northern Pennsylvania Regional College this fall?
For NPRC students, it means that they can take all 60 credit hours of their associate degree in business administration, criminal justice, social sciences, or liberal studies directly to any of the CU campuses. Those are Mansfield and Lock Haven University and the final campus at Bloomsburg. In addition to that, they are also welcome to apply those credits to the Clearfield location that CU operates. And what that means for our students is that they can take all 60 credit hours directly into a parallel degree at any of those universities. And one of the features of the agreement that we're really excited about as well is that eligible students can earn up to a $5,000 transfer scholarship that's available to them renewable annually for up to 3 years. So that's a really exciting aspect, because saving time and saving money as they pursue their baccalaureate degree would make a huge difference in students' lives.
People that are enrolling for this semester can look forward to?
Absolutely. Students who graduated with this last graduating class are eligible, as well as students who graduate with us in the future. And the agreement also features an opportunity for students to have guaranteed admission even if they complete 30 credit hours with NPRC. So, for example, students who might be working toward a general education certificate of 30 credit hours, they get that guaranteed admission directly into one of those campus locations. And many of their programs also have the ability for students to complete those programs through remote attendance, which means that students could continue to live and work in the communities within our 9-county service region, all the while pursuing their bachelor's degree. So it's a really great opportunity to, say, take the social sciences degree at NPRC and parlay it into a 4-year degree in social work, and then a master's and beyond as those universities continue to grow.
What kind of financial support would be provided to NPRC students in addition to what we've described that's going to be changing?
NPRC does offer our students institutional aid as well. So students can apply for aid directly with the college, and they can receive up to 100% of their tuition covered. So there is, you know, no expense to the student. And that follows pretty much according to the FAFSA application that students fill out. So they're very familiar with that process. We also try hard to find resources for them to cover their book expense. So we do offer scholarships for books. And a nice thing, too, about NPRC is that our faculty try really hard to find resources online that have been vetted and approved and are of good quality for the students to utilize at no cost. So, you know, we're working hard every day to keep that cost low. And then our Board of Trustees recently passed a policy at the board level where we're putting on hold, basically, all of our fees for the next 2 years in regards to our academic programs. Wow. So there will be no fees, no hidden fees. And then again, we help with books and we help with tuition as well.
How does NPRC help students achieve their goals faster through the delivery of math and English classes?
Okay, so I'll talk to you a little bit about what's going on with that. It's a really interesting model where students, as they enter NPRC, we don't require any test scores, so no need for SAT, ACT, any of that. Of course, we accept those. However, we automatically place our students in a support course right along their side, their college first level. College level writing course that provides just-in-time help with anything that they need to brush up on and provides some of those other resources where students might say, oh, I need some help with some time management skills, some study skills, how to set the pacing for a college course compared to some of the things I've learned in my past educational experiences. So those support courses are designed in a way to help students every step of the way. And those who do come to us with, say, SAT or ACT scores or high GPAs from high school have options that they can say, no, I don't need that support, and we have mechanisms by which they can be exempted out of those couple of courses. However, what we're seeing is just phenomenal success with our students who do participate in those support courses. In fact, 83% of students at NPRC in the last 2 years passed their first college level math course on their first attempt, which, you know, some folks, I teach math, so some folks will say, oh, math was one of the hard ones for me. But when I look at that level of success, it speaks volumes to the quality of our faculty, plus it speaks volumes to the work ethic of our students who enter NPRC. And English is much the same way. That first level writing course has a success ratio of 78%. It's a really phenomenal program. And we do something else that's pretty interesting in NPRC that you don't find at some other colleges. We have 4-week, 8-week, 12-week check-ins for grades. So rather than just entering your college class and waiting till halfway through the semester to find out how it's going, we give you opportunities to have check-ins and know exactly where you stand every 4 weeks during the semester. So that's making a big difference for students, because when you see early on that you're not quite meeting the bar, then we also have student engagement specialists. I think I'm of these folks as academic coaches who kind of walk alongside the student through their entire educational journey. So it's just making a really big difference to the success rates that we're experiencing at NPRC. Just that caring and very concerned faculty and staff that we are experiencing a 4-to-1 student to instructor ratio at NPRC. So you get a lot of personalized attention and a lot of time with your professors. 70% of our student body, first-generation students. So within their family, they might not have someone who's already broken through those barriers and achieved that bachelor's level degree or an associate degree. And in that case, they need someone to kind of show them the ropes. And which office do you go to? Who do you speak to? How do you get help and resources? That speaks volumes too. The fact that we're able to provide that intentional help that gets students on their pathway, and then this agreement provides them just like the next step along that road to success.
How do you reduce some of those barriers for students that are looking to enroll in NPRC?
So we're very proud of our model that includes a student engagement specialist, and that individual serves sort of as a concierge to our students that really holds their hand and helps them every step of the way, as Mindy was saying. So if they need help with, say, tutoring because they're struggling in a topic, then that student engagement specialist will make sure they get the help that they need. If they need anything else, like you said, time management, then they're there to help them with those, whatever issues that they're running into. They help them develop their schedule when they're, you know, moving from term to term. And so they're really there just to answer any questions for them, make sure that they're comfortable, and they're with them the entire time. So from start to end, they have a student engagement specialist that they can always turn to. So wow. We're proud of that model, and I think it's been very helpful to our students as well.
So how do your your programs support career pathways, and what are some of the opportunities that the students from the MPRC will have today?
80% of MPRC students, I feel like I'm the statistics person, 80% of our students are already employed. So many of the students who come to MPRC are looking to upskill and to look for that next level within the career they're in or to change fields. So we have had students who have used their degree, for example, in business administration at MPRC, to segue from maybe an entry-level job over into more of a management type of career and just have that next leg up in the career they're already in. And we've had other students, say in social science, that may have been working a part-time job in a field that really wasn't their passion and then pursued this degree in social sciences, this associate degree, and used it to gain an entry-level position in the social sciences field. And now this particular student I'm thinking about is the one that we kept in mind as we were developing this agreement, because in order for this student to climb that career ladder, accessing this Commonwealth University agreement to gain a bachelor's in social work will give her the opportunity to take the very next step in her career. So I can just see with some other folks I was talking about the ripple effects of changing that one life to provide an opportunity to have a leg up in the field she's passionate about will now affect all of the people that she provides services to so that we can better our communities all throughout our 9-county service region.
How do you support a student's mobility when you're looking at transferring credits? Because that's something that people really look at too. They don't want to have to redo the work.
Very much so. And another one of our statistics is more than half of MPRC students, while they are first generation, that many of them have tried college in other areas and they have some credits to transfer to MPRC. So we have a very generous transfer process of evaluating transcripts from other institutions, and we look for equivalent and parallel courses at MPRC to provide those students opportunities to bring their credits to us. And now I'm going right back to the CEO agreement. It's a great example of guaranteed that those courses that they take at MPRC will count and will count toward the next step, so that finishing 60 credit hours with MPRC will mean you're exactly halfway to your 120-hour credit degree at the bachelor's level at any of those CU campuses in both transferring in and transferring out. And there's another really interesting thing that MPRC does, and it's in terms of something called prior learning credit agreements. So we have an agreement with our workforce development folks at MPRC. We have a preparation course for something called a CDA, which is Child Development Associate. So we prepare students to earn that credential. So students then who earn that credential can be awarded 6 credit hours toward early childhood education, toward their associate degree in that. So they can work in a non-credit area and get the preparation and then use what they have learned to earn credits over on the academic side. There are many things that we do in terms of that so that we can provide students with, I think of it as like on-ramps and off-ramps, because people change their pathways and they change their educational goals, or they have a first step of success, like in the CDA program, and they say, I want more. So then we can parlay that into an associate, and now in those 4 degrees I was mentioning, over into that guaranteed transfer for a bachelor's degree. Workforce development is a really interesting thing that is a big part of what MPRC does, and we could talk a little bit more about some of the opportunities in workforce.
Currently, we're offering a variety of workforce courses to the public, and they include things like emergency management training, EMR training. We're looking at developing some fire safety that will be coming out shortly, and we're really just trying to be responsive to what the workforce needs are. We have a CDL program that we offer throughout the 9-county regions, and as Mindy already mentioned, the CDA. And so we're just constantly evaluating and developing workforce. And another really big part to our workforce programming is our customized training. So we'll work directly with employers from throughout our region and look at what their workforce training needs needs are, and then we'll come to them with the training and where they can train their incumbent workers. So that's a big piece of what we do as well. Another example would be supervisory and leadership. That's been really popular when it comes to the customized training piece. A lot of employers are looking at employees that they have that they want to move into leadership positions, and they're really good. They have really good technical skills, but they need that supervisory piece. And so we've actually have been really successful in offering a lot of those types of courses as well. So,
what does the future of NPRC look like with this in mind?
I would say these are really exciting times for NPRC. Our future looks bright. We just have so many things that are happening, and we have such a truly dedicated staff and faculty that are really just passionate about what they do and passionate about our students and making sure that our students are successful and that our communities are successful. And we're all really excited about what's next. And this agreement that we've been talking about is just one step in that direction, and we can see many more exciting things coming on the horizon as well.
Absolutely. Now, one thing that I did want to mention for people that are interested in learning more, you have physical locations throughout the different areas that you're in, too. We have one that's right by our studios here in downtown Warren, if you'd like to stop by the NPRC College there, and that is the corner of 2nd and Liberty, right?
Well, yes, and our academic coursework is offered down at Warren High Ed, and all throughout the region we have instructional locations, because rather than having a traditional college campus where you might have residence halls, instead, we partner with various entities all throughout that 9-county region at more than 20 instructional locations. Corey High Ed, we partner with various high eds in Potter County, the same thing, as well as some libraries and schools, so that courses can be offered in the community where our students actually live. So students can easily find a location near them at which they can earn their entire associate degree. So it's not just a class or two. It's at that instructional location you can attend every one of your classes all the way through completion. And at NPRC, the average number of credits an NPRC student takes per term is 9 credits. So that's about 3/4 full-time. So we have many students who take full-time loads and beyond, but we also have a lot of part-time students. So we can meet the student not only where they are, but in the way that best helps them meet their goals.
Wow, talk about accommodating. Doesn't get much better than that. That's really amazing. So one thing that I wanted to discuss with this then before we wrap up is, where are people able to check you guys out online, see what the course loads are, see what they can apply for and learn, and where can they best find that?
I would welcome everyone to visit our website, and that's discovernprc.org. So they can find lots of information about the things we've already talked about today. They'll learn more about our open house that we're having on October 25th. They'll find additional details there. And then if they could fill out the information on that request more information, one of our community engagement specialists will follow up with them and have a conversation and provide the information that they need.
Wow. And I will add that there's still time to register for our fall academic term. Classes begin on August 17th. We'll accept, and that's on a Wednesday, we'll accept registrations all the way through the end of the week preceding that Wednesday. And we have plenty of folks working for NPRC who are just ready and willing to answer questions and help students through prospective students through that paperwork that is necessary in order to get started. So people are welcome to come to learn more at the open house if they're interested in planning for the future. And of course, welcome to contact us now, and we'll get them started this fall.
You two for taking the time to join me today. I'm really glad that we could highlight the different things happening at the NPRC this fall, and I'm really excited for what the future holds.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
For listening to Community Matters. If you have any questions, inquiries, or suggestions, feel free to reach out at warrenradio.com and click Contact.